We're going to bring y'all to our huddle.
You are in Warriors Huddle with me, Bram, and with me, per usual, my master of all things video and sound, Maxine.
How's it going?
And my boy and producer, MT.
How's that, Nation?
Gentlemen, fired up to announce that one of my favorite guests is rejoining us after way too long. A noted sports author with bylines at The Ringer, The Herald, Real GM, and Fansided. The former Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group. The current host of the Locked On Heat and Locked On NBA podcast. The brand new lead of the Real GM radio pod, where Dan Devine just joined him in a fun but siren-filled episode. And a man with three shows now. Three shows. Who hasn't fucking invited me on one of them yet? Mr. Wes Goldberg. What's going on, Wes?
You're on the list.
I mean, the long list, apparently. We're like 3 years deep, dude. How long is your list?
Well, I'm not going to bring you on Locked On Heat because that doesn't make sense. I mean, I could maybe now if we're going to get into some of these Jimmy Butler trade ideas. Maybe I could do this now. And then we don't do guests on Locked On NBA because we're not supposed to. But now with the Real GM show, maybe you'll be making an appearance when the Warriors get relevant again.
That, MT, what do you think? Do you think it'll happen? Was that, I mean, Wes is really good at this. He's been podcasting forever. He can handle a random punch and then get through it. What he just said, do you think I'll find myself on his show or no? Do you think he's just doing a really competent job at tap dancing through a fucked up intro?
I think he's good at tap dancing, but I think it's genuine. Wes is a good friend of the pod, so I think you'll see your way on there.
Yeah, it's either you or the Light Years guys. I haven't decided yet.
I'll join them. I have no pride, Wes. Add me whoever, dude. Do they have a dog? I'll join their dog. I mean, you tell me I'm coming in, and it's a prediction show today, gentlemen. So we just had our first. MT is on the board. We'll see whether or not he's right. I got a whole bunch of questions. But we actually have a jump segment. So, Wes, this is kind of new. I'm sure we've done it with you one time. But every now and again, news will come out that requires our immediate reaction. We call it the jump when we do it. And we have something today. Jonathan Kuminga, gentlemen, would like a 5-year max, presumably something close to the 5-year, $224 million deal Franz Wagner just signed with Orlando. So that one's $44.8 million a year. And according to Anthony Slater, at least, the Warriors are not close to offering that. And we've got a long time to see how it plays out. But one of the things I was excited to get, Wes, is just league-wide perception, your opinion on Jonathan Kuminga. So, like, before we even talk about the deal and what they should offer, take us out of Golden State, dude. Everywhere else, looking in, what's the perception on this player?
You know, I think the Jonathan Kuminga has a lot of fans around the NBA. The physical tools are obvious, right? The guy was really productive last year. I think he's the sort of player that I think a lot of front offices would want to get their hands on, right? And but there's also a lot of people that are kind of out on him. And they're saying, you know what? Like, he's kind of like an empty stats guy a little bit. He's not exactly moved the needle for the Warriors, even though he averaged whatever, 16, 17 points per game last year. And I think within the context of the Warriors, like, it's like, all right, he's good, but like, when's he going to actually get really good? And is that going to kind of line up with Steph Curry's window here, which is really the kind of the big kind of crux of the whole position that the Warriors are in right now. But I like Jonathan Kuminga a lot. I never liked his fit in Golden State. That's been out there. That I wrote about it during the draft. I said that they should absolutely not draft Jonathan Kuminga. They didn't listen to me, and they did. Maybe they're right. Maybe they're wrong. I don't know. I think they're wrong. But that's where they're at right now. And when he's asking for a 5-year, $220 million extension, despite sort of league views, some people are high on him, some people are low on him, there's nobody that thinks that the Warriors should pay him that amount of money right now. That makes zero sense. So in terms of the league-wide perception, it's like, he wants that? Okay, that's funny. Well, I think everybody agrees, let the Warriors wait, let him hit restricted free agency next year and figure it out.
I got the feeling, I mean, I don't know this. This is not a report. This is just an AI storytelling by me. But when I read this story, I got the feeling that JK called his agent and was like, so we're 100% asking for the max, right? And the agent was like, ooh, yeah, I guess we are. Like, that wasn't necessarily on the scheduled plans. Weaponize it for me, Wes. If you could have Tyler Hero or Jonathan Kuminga on a team, who would you prefer?
With the contract situations being what they are, or just sort of player in a vacuum?
That player in a vacuum, because we don't know what the money will be for Kuminga quite yet.
Player in a vacuum, I would take Kuminga because the ceiling is just way higher than Tyler Hero. And I think Tyler Hero is a really good player. Yep. He's a better player right now than Jonathan Kuminga is. but the I think we kind of know what he is. Yep. We're going into what, 6 years of Tyler Hero. I think we kind of know what it is. He's making about $30 million a year. If you just gave me one, plopped one on the roster with like both the money being the same, I would take Kuminga right now at his age.
Boys, what do you think? Max deal for JK. If Mike D called in right now, you know, I'm Mike from San Francisco. I'm wondering how much we should offer Jonathan Kuminga. What's your answer?
30 and not a penny more. It's definitely not the max. I mean, I agree. I think it's a good comparison, Wes, with Tyler Hero. But he just hasn't played like a max player. You can't, you know, I agree. I think that conversation with his agent was probably funny. He deleted, you know, 150 and had to put in there 220, whatever the number is. But yeah, the max I would go would be 30.
I think you
depending
got
on if he does good this year. Yeah.
I think you got sidetracked by Wes's intro because that was my comparison to Tyler Hero. I don't know why the hell you handed it to Goldberg. Maxime, how much you offer?
Well, I agree. I'm definitely not offering him the max. But if I'm the 29 other teams in this league, I'm kind of licking my chops right now. I think it's I'm not predicting anything at all. But this moves the needle incrementally closer in the direction of Kuminga not being on Golden State for the remainder of his career. This is the worst case scenario for Golden State. We've seen Draymond do this, right? You got to put a number out there that's really high. This is classic negotiation. Unfortunately for the Golden State Warriors, it's happening in the public because now we don't offer him the max. He's going to be upset about it. He has to indicate that he's upset about it, which means that he might be more willing to go somewhere else. And then he can say, well, Golden State didn't do right by me. Sure, I didn't take a max over here. I ended up with a lower contract or whatever, but they burned that bridge with me. So it doesn't look great at this point for Kuminga's long-term chances in Golden State.
Haven't exactly burned the bridge yet, but they've kind of got the match struck already, right? And they're like waiting. Like last year, Jonathan Kuminga made it very public that he was upset about playing time, and everybody knows why. It's because he was going to be eligible for an extension within a few months, and then that story kind of went away a little bit. That Steve Kerr did a good job of massaging it out, but this guy wants to play, and this is why I was always sort of against Jonathan Kuminga getting drafted to Golden State in the first place. I never thought he would have the opportunity to become a max player here. Like, I didn't know where the playing time or the room to roam was going to be for him to sort of explore all the kind of different corners of his game, because what the Warriors do is so specific, and because they're so much they're very much in their title window right now. And Kuminga was so raw when he got to the NBA, and he hasn't made like the kind of leap you would think a player with his kind of talent would have made. By this stage of his career, he's been good. He's obviously, we've seen the flashes, but he has not been the player that I think a lot of people expected yet. And for that reason, like, I just think there's so many question marks with him. And yeah, maybe one day he's worth even 30 plus million a year. There's also a really good chance that he's never worth 30 million a year, right? We just have no idea. It could go, it really feels like a coin flip at this point. And the last thing you want to do is end up basically shutting the door on Steph Curry's championship window because you signed the wrong guy. You already did it once with Jordan Poole and you were able to get out of it. The chances of getting out of it twice is really slim.
The demand felt like circumstance envy. We've talked about in the past that everyone else from his draft class landed in places where they were just giving him or that player as much usage as possible. Someone like Jalen Green, you know, where off they go, they really get a chance to see who they are. And this demand almost feels like Kuminga saying, look, I get it's a different circumstance, and you guys keep telling me that even though I'm not playing, I'm going to be this huge piece, and I'm actually in a better place than the Jalen Greens of the world, so fuck you, pay me. I'm ready. You know, if you think I'm going to be coming, then let's see where it goes. I also think that the articles that came out and said Kuminga wants a max deal should have had a little subtitle underneath it that also said Kuminga not expected to play his full career in Golden State for all the reasons you guys just said. To answer my own question, do I give him a max now? Fuck no. Why? The Warriors have never, with the exception of Steph most recently, they don't rush to give out deals. It's probably what cost them Klay Thompson. They wait and they see. Kuminga's a restricted free agent. If he goes out and gets another deal, they can match it. So as of right now, that they're announcing this before like this giant season, that's great. I understand aspirational goals, but should they pay him now? Hell no. Should they even negotiate now? Again, fuck no. Wait, see who he is. If at the end of this season, he's the second leading scorer, he's averaging 25. You know, we've had this great playoff run and like, oh my God, Kuminga has landed. Sure, here you go. All the money on earth. If it's the other side, no. hard out, but let's see. You know, you might as well see what the hell this guy is worth. I stand by the answer, but I'm throwing it out the window for this next portionable segment because I do agree that this doesn't paint the biggest picture or best picture for his future in Golden State. So, Wes, I got a couple of fake trades for you involving Jonathan Kuminga, and one of them is very time appropriate. So, needless to say, you are our go-to Heat expert. And there's also been some Heat news here in Golden State world. Sam Amick was on the TK show recently and said that the Warriors are interested in Jimmy Butler. So I've got a fake Jimmy Butler trade for you. Before we do, what's up? I mean, from Miami's perspective, is Butler just available? Like, how is this season progressing? Like, is the thought that Miami's going to make another championship run and Butler's certainly going to be here, but they'll listen to answers? Or is it kind of understood that you guys are blowing it up? Like, why is this Butler thing coming out?
It's a good question. Right now, Jimmy Butler is very much not available. Like, the front office is not trading Jimmy Butler. They are not taking phone calls about Jimmy Butler. They're not entertaining phone calls or trade talks about Jimmy Butler. That said, he's got a player option for next year, $52.4 million. That's a lot of money to say no to, but it is the last year of his contract. So if he feels like he can get one more long-term contract, it would basically be he'll be 35 this month. So next summer is kind of his last real opportunity to get that last deal for his career. So the idea is that this is sort of a contract year for him, and it might be sort of a last dance on the Jimmy Butler era. Yep. Or not. I don't really know. The possibility is out there. Nobody really knows. But yeah, right now the Heat are not making him available because they really think that they have a chance to make it back to the finals with an engaged contract year version of Jimmy Butler, Bam, healthy Tyler Hero, Terry Rozier for a full year. They want to make a run at it. But if they come to the conclusion by January or February that ain't going to happen,
yep,
then yeah, maybe there is. I think there's a lot of teams around the league kind of eyeing that situation, being like, look, we have no idea what to think of the Heat. Nobody ever counts out the Miami Heat. But if there are 10 games under 500 or Bam, it has a season-ending injury, and it just looks like this is it, the writing's on the wall, then yeah, I think the Heat might, like hypothetically at that point, entertain offers. But I think a lot of teams are monitoring that situation.
Makes perfect sense. And what we've been saying on this show, after we swung and missed Paul George, swung and missed Laurie Markkanen, that the next probable move is before February. You know, wait to see what blows up, yeah, and then make a move. Jimmy Butler is one of those names. I've got another name I'm even more excited for our second trade. But let's hammer this one out, all right? So, let's give you all roles. Wes, you are now Andy Ellisberg, the Heat GM for the first trade here. Mike D will be played by Marcus Taylor. Gentlemen, here's the suggested trade. The Warriors get Jimmy Butler, just straight, nobody else coming back. The Heat get Wiggins, Kuminga, GP2, Loon, Moody, a first-round pick in 26, and a pick swap the following year in 27. MT, why don't you start us off? All right, so one first round pick, one pick swap, and then you heard the players. Your face screams no.
Yeah. Why would you give me that deal? That's way too many players for 36-year-old Jimmy Butler, 35-year-old Jimmy Butler. But I'll play the game.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, you just played the game. That's all you said. No, yeah, you are hanging up before it gets beyond there. Wes or Andy, what do you think, man? Would you give up Butler for the list of players I just gave you and a couple of first rounders? Well, one first rounder and a pick swap.
So how many first round picks do the Warriors have that they can trade? Is it just the one with the swap or do they have two?
They've got two.
So you're holding one off the table right now. Yep. I'm also saying no. Mm-hmm. Like that's a lot of player names. That's one decent asset coming back. Like, first of all, you're giving me a negative asset in Andrew Wiggins. I'd probably have to use your first-round pick that you gave me to get off of Andrew Wiggins' contract. Like, Gary Payton II? No thanks. Like, that guy plays four games a year. Pass. Kevon Looney? Like, what does that do for me? Nothing. I just drafted Khalil Ware as my backup center. I have Bam Adebayo. Like, I don't need Looney. I like Looney fine. I don't need him. I don't even – like, Moody? Like, wake me up when that guy does something. So I'm getting Kuminga out of this, and now I have to deal with that contract situation where I don't want to deal with the Jimmy Butler contract situation. And I'm getting one first-round pick and a swap, which doesn't even – like, who cares about swaps? Swaps, by the way, were invented for press releases. Like, now, like, the Jazz be like, we got 9 first-round picks. So, like, we get 4 of them and then a bunch of stupid swaps that nobody cares about. But anyway, that said, That's a hard no.
Not if we're terrible. If the Warriors are terrible in 27, the Heat are doing really well, that pick swap would mean a lot.
You won't be terrible.
They're getting a much better player.
That's totally fair, but I don't know that the Heat and the Warriors will be different enough where, like, that swap might be the difference of two picks.
Yeah. No, you are not wrong. And trying to come up with a platter that you would accept from the names on here. So, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, Marcus, but I could add the three of our podcasting names on there, and there'd be a lot of names and players going, but I'm not sure if it adds any value to the Heat.
Don't be so hard on yourselves. That might change it.
I appreciate that, man. You know, I didn't want to be the person to say it, but, hear it from a national reporter does mean a little bit here. I'd consider it as a Warrior. You know, if I'm Mike D, I would consider it. It'd give me a sleepless night.
How would you not
do it? Yeah, it'd give me a sleepless night. It is a lot. I have a weird fascination with Kuminga and Butler's injury history, and then I'm not sure how much he moves the needle. Like, what I like about him, it's not necessarily his fit. I don't know if he really fits with us here. Here's the starting lineup I thought we would have if we did it, by the way. Curry, Butler, Melton, Draymond, and TJD. I'm not sure if he suddenly makes us a championship contender and we're giving up on a ton, in my opinion, with Kuminga and a first round pick. But what he does is screams, all right, we're going for it. You know, like, all right, we are bringing somebody in. We're acknowledging the France performance. I mean, all of that, you know?
So, I mean, in terms of a basketball fit between Steph and Jimmy, I think it's perfect, right? Like, the lineup you said is awful, by the way. Like, there's absolutely zero spacing on it. Only Steph shoots. Nobody else shoots.
Doesn't Jimmy shoot? And Melton shoots too.
Melton shoots a little bit, but nobody closes out on him. And Jimmy Butler shoots only when he's like holding pocket aces. Like, he's like wide open, standstill shot from the corner. But he shoots from like 4 feet away from that, which is awesome. That's why I think Jimmy and Steph together, like, just that two-man game is perfect. Like, it's a yin-yang situation. Like, I could see Jimmy Butler. He's an awesome playmaker passer. If you had him in the low post with Steph doing split cut stuff all off, like, Jimmy would be attracting double teams and passing it out like that. That is an awesome basketball fit. Those two guys, Jimmy's in and out, plays from the inside out. Steph, obviously, from the outside in. Steph being able to score 30 points a night. Jimmy being able to just kind of casually walk into 26-6 every night. His defense is perfect for what this team needs, especially in the Western Conference. And he's a gamer, right? Like, you talk about the other targets. You were looking at Paul George and Lauri Markkanen, awesome players, but unlike those two guys, Jimmy Butler is like NBA Finals tested. What's Draymond Green say? Like, 16-game player? Jimmy's a 16-game player. He's very much not an 82-game player. He might be the most extreme version of this ever, but he's definitely a 16-game player. But I don't know. It is a lot in terms of, like, all right, now how do we fill out the rest of the lineup?
Yep.
But if I'm the Heat, I would be asking for, can we get a third team to take Wiggins? And can we replace that salary with something else? If we're already sort of worried about Jimmy's situation, how is Jonathan Kuminga playing up to that point? And do we think we want to pay him? I can't have Moses Moody because he's also dealing with a contract extension situation. And I don't know anything about this guy. So would you give me Pods? That to me would be the sticking point in a trade. If I'm Andy Ellsberg in this game, I'm like, I need a guy on a rookie scale contract who we could bring in for a couple of years and have a little bit of a runway to make some decisions on.
You clearly have not been listening to Joe Lacob because Pods is a multi-time all-star. So that trade won't be happening at all. If I've had the call with Andy, and he wouldn't need this to hear from me. But what, hopefully, if we're negotiating, right, it's January. I'm saying, look, you guys are fucked. This is over. The Butler thing isn't happening anymore. You guys are not in the championship picture in any way. The East is loaded. The Knicks are getting better. You guys aren't close. Start over. You got to start over. Let me give you Kuminga, and then these rest of these guys, let their contract run, and it'll help your books. But I'm not sure I'd be successful. What I'll tell you is, and this is mostly a joke. I do think that Jimmy Butler is the perfect mental fit. And I think that if he was in that practice when Draymond hit Jordan Poole, I feel like Jimmy Butler would be like, fuck yeah. Like, he deserved that 100%, And
he would have jumped in.
Yeah, that's, they shouldn't have said what he said. It is what it is, I wanted to do that in Minnesota during that one practice. Yeah, it
reminds me of Cat.
Finally, some accountability here. All right, well, that trade didn't go the way I thought. I thought that Marcus would be like, hell yes. I thought that Wes would be like, that starting five definitely works. I thought we would all be kumbaya. Didn't happen.
I have some recency bias. I know it's years removed and, the players are what they are. But when we won the 22 championship, our second and third best players were Andrew Wiggins and Kevon Looney. And we don't win that championship if Looney doesn't grab 20 boards for a few games. And if Andrew Wiggins is not locking down Luka Doncic and playing amazing defense. So they're not those same players. I know Wiggins is going through family stuff and it's impacting him, and Loon is what he is. But I have a hard time giving up those players, even though they're just names, because we're not that far removed from them playing critical roles in winning a championship.
Well, more than that, dude, we also, I mean, I'll keep it personal. Those names are the reasons we're trying to believe in this season, right? I mean, like we're trying to say, no, Wiggins is coming back. Kuminga is making a leap. Loon lost all that weight. You know, in our mind, we're not looking back. We're saying forward, just you wait till they go up, and then losing that lottery ticket. You know, that potential does kind of hurt. And stupid Wes just considers them names. All right, second one, okay? New role for Mike D. Maxime, you'll be playing Mike D here. Wes, this time you're going to be playing Colby Altman, the Cavs GM, all right? My target here, Donovan Mitchell. So there's no rumors out there. No one's talking about Donovan Mitchell. But if we're trying to identify teams that may wave the white flag and that they have some problem and realize they can't keep their guy, I'm looking at the Cavs, and I'm looking specifically at Donovan Mitchell because I think for a while he thought he was going to New York, right? Now that's not happening. They are very happy with their point guard spot. So there's a chance if Cleveland doesn't play super well and he starts intimating that he's going to leave, that, you know, we could make a deal. So here's my suggestion. Very similar to the last poo-poo platter I offered you boys, I'm just adding a second first rounder. So Wiggins, Kuminga, two first rounders. And in this instance, it's Guy Santos instead of the rest of the people filling it out. All right. So Wes, do I have your attention at all? Wiggins, Kuminga, two first rounders, and then filler with Santos.
So I guess I'm struggling as to why I'm trading Donovan Mitchell right now, because I just signed him to an extension. And so I've got him under contract. It feels like if I'm going to trade Donovan Mitchell, it's not going to be – and that's actually a decent package. I'm not going to lie it in for like Cleveland's needs. They need more size specifically on those wing positions. But it feels like I could trade Donovan Mitchell for like $1.50 on the dollar as opposed to like quarters on the
dollar. Because you still have him there. We can include Darius Garland as an opposing name too, if you think there's a better chance there.
Well, can I counter offer you with like Jared Allen? I think he'd be a great fit in Golden State.
You can, yes. And I don't know.
He doesn't seem enthused.
I don't think it's enthused because I didn't do the research on the numbers. I'm not sure that it
he makes $20 million.
That it'll match up. Yeah, so we're a little off, but that's fine. I mean, you know, you're talking to the wrong guy. Maxime, you're Mike D. What do you think, man? Would you have any interest in Jared Allen, or would you focus still on Donovan Mitchell?
Wes, you see how Bram does this? He's like, oh, I didn't do the research, but he's tossing these things out without telling us, so we can't do the research. But that's somehow fine. regardless, I am actually much more interested in Jared Allen over Donovan Mitchell, simply because we know from recent reports that Pajemski, the front office, and Steve Kerr wants him to be taking more threes this year. Donovan Mitchell is not.
He's already as good as Donovan Mitchell.
Right, exactly.
If you ask some people within the Warriors.
In terms of his three-point attempts, I feel like Donovan Mitchell is doing about the same as Pajemski. I think overall, as a guard, Donovan Mitchell's body of work speaks for itself. We're not having that argument one-on-one, but I am interested in seeing what I have on a rookie-scale contract with Pajemski to potentially be a B version, let's say, of Donovan Mitchell, and that be enough. Whereas if you have Donovan Mitchell, you keep Pajemski on your roster. That's a bit of a logjam, whereas Jared Allen fits much more of a position of need, especially when we're talking about TJD being our starting center. I think we need a little bit more size under there, so it's more compelling to me.
Forgive me, and we'll cut this part out. Wes, I don't like to do this in front of you. Maxime, can you fucking research your takes before you give them, dude? I mean, Jesus Christ, dude, this is a legitimate podcast. You like at least know what you're talking about before you jump in. My God. Okay. And picking it back up, just pretend like that didn't happen at all. Wes, that was awkward for all of us. I don't know where to go from now.
So I'm going to propose a trade. I'm working the trade machine right now. Kuminga, Kevon Looney. I need to find like $4 to $5 million somewhere. Here's like Moses Moody or whatever. Yep. Like for Jared Allen. The money's close enough, and it keeps the Cavaliers under the tax, which is a big deal for them.
Give me a win right now, or are we into the season?
Now.
In other words, now, no.
You're right. Into the season, like January, yeah. February, yeah. Cleveland decides, hey, we hired Kenny Atkinson. We thought he could fix everything. Turns out he can't. We still have some roster problems. We need Evan Mobley to be playing full-time center. We got to trade Jared Allen. You get Kevon Looney to be a backup center if you're Cleveland. Kuminga and Moody to help fill out the wing around Garland and Donovan Mitchell and Max Strus and kind of what they got going on there. I don't know. For Jared Allen, I don't think you need to put picks in if you're the Warriors. You might even be able to ask for like a second round pick or two coming back. But that would be the center part of the deal. Moody, Kuminga, and Looney for Jared Allen. Mike D, what do you think?
I think that it's all mentality, which is why I asked.
I thought Maxime was Mike D.
Where it is. No. Well, then I got the he's not answering thing. So here I am, Mike D, third trade. Yeah. It's all mentality. So right now, I think the Warriors' mentality is answers are in the building. Unless it's a player who's making more than $30 million, you know, like the Jimmy Butler's, like the big stars. I think what they're counting on is Wiggins comes back, Kuminga makes a leap, Podziemski is better, not maybe as good as what Lacob's saying, but is better than what the league thinks. Curry's still the superstar. Let's fucking go. Let's see what happens. But I also think in the back of their mind, they're very aware of what happened in Paris, and they're very aware that we're running out of this. This is a dwindling asset. So fast forward, we get to January, February. I don't think Jared Allen is at the top of that list. I think, again, they'd prefer people with $30 million contracts. But if that doesn't happen and they need to do something, Jared Allen is one hell of a something. So I would say yes to that, assuming that the other trades I've pursued have come up short. Let's put a bow on this. Wes, prediction town, all right? Before the end of this season, will the Warriors acquire a player who is making more than $30 million a year?
No.
All right, let's turn to our next predictions.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To our golden questions, boys. Wes, this is our mailbag. You've done this with us 1,000 times. The questions come from the listeners. They always deal with basketball. They sometimes get personal. This one does both. And we've got kind of an interesting theme going here. So like I said, these all came from outside of us. But I've formatted them. So we've got a question that's about Golden State, a question about the league at large, and then a social question. Here's our first, and I've already taken this kind of long, boy, so we're going to go quick through this. First question, how many wins for Golden State? Before you answer, quick reminder, Maddie Stats, we got somebody, Wes, who is nice enough to listen, actually writes down the things we're saying, so there's some accountability for our predictions. At the end of the year, we'll hand out percentages. Who had the highest percentage in right picks? So first question, wins for Golden State, whoever wants to take it, fire away.
I'm gonna base mine on somebody else's answer, so
I'll go 48.
Whoa, so there were 46 wins last year. I'm a little bit more nervous, as we've talked about many times, about more teams getting better in the West and not really too many teams getting worse. So I can't imagine that we end up beating our record from last year. I'm putting it at 43.
I agree. The West is tough this year. I'm going 45.
I kind of like 48, but I'll go 47. Well, I can't go the same as you.
No, it's some Price is Right shit. I shouldn't have gone first, man. Fuck, I knew what it was. Second question. All right. Zion Williamson. His weight has been the focus, you know, for multiple years now. We've seen some pictures. He is looking svelte. He is looking exceptionally in shape. And he's also got a quote. His target weight is 272 pounds. So, gentlemen, over under 272 pounds, how much will Zion Williamson weigh January 1st, right? So into the season. You know, we're playing now. He's gotten out of the offseason. We're really moving. What do you think? Does he hit that target?
Hey, it's crazy. So, his target weight is 272. That's
January 1st. So what did you say? Is that now?
Yeah, we don't know, and we won't know on January 1st. So, Matty Stats, it's going to be hard to get an answer. To this. Yeah.
Post holiday, post holiday food too is rough on him.
Yeah. So Zion, yeah, right. He's going to be full on like stuffing and Christmas stuff. No, I think I'll go over because there's some players who actually lose weight during the season. Most players, I would say like 80%, 85% of NBA players lose weight during the season. Some of them gain weight because of the stresses of the travel and stuff, and they just don't take care of themselves. It is really hard to kind of take care of yourself during the season. But Zion has tended to be – and Luka is like this a little bit too. Luka Doncic is a little bit like this, where they tend to gain weight as the season goes on. So I'll go over for Zion.
If by as the season goes on, you mean just all the time, I completely agree. I will also take the over. And I can only hope that in New Orleans, they add like weight into the player introductions. You know, like year four out of Duke, Wayne, 295 pounds. We'll see. Well, I don't know if that'll happen or not. Gentlemen,
What's the lowest that they could say that they could tell you that Zion is at where you would still believe it?
Oh, lowest?
Yeah.
272?
Like if they came at me with like 260, I'd be like, all right, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I'd question it.
Because that's the real, that's what the real question is, right? Is what could, it's not what Zion weighs in at. It's what can they get away with?
You'd have to look like Sean Bradley for me to totally believe that, you know, like there'd have to be a real body transformation, but maybe.
I'm definitely going more specific. It'd be like 266 or something. It'd be like, well, they can't make that. They wouldn't make that up. That's too random. Right?
0.3 or something. You'd be like, yeah, okay. I took that today.
Yeah, I think it's over too. I don't think he eclipses. He probably like weighs 280 and then they just say 279 because they don't want to deal with any of the fallout.
Oh, nice. The 999 rule.
Yeah.
Classic.
Maxime closes out.
I mean, almost certainly over, but mainly because I just like – It's flooring to get that level of insight and detail from Wes on a question that I thought couldn't be analyzed. And like, here we are with insight. And the only thing I'm disappointed about, Wes, is that you didn't use that calculator that's sitting back there, because I don't know what you use an old school calculator for at this point.
This is not like my office. I don't know where I am. I don't know whose office this is. Hopefully they don't come back from lunch soon.
There's somebody in the background right now talking to HR. Like, I don't know who the fuck that is. I don't know why they're in my desk. I don't know how they got into this building. Where that microphone came from? I have no idea. It's not mine.
And I got to go. I got to go away Zion real quick.
How are you going to give his intro? I have to do an intro in October. I have no idea how much he weighs.
Well, Andrew, just make it up.
Yeah. Maxime, did you want to research this before you answered it? Or
yeah, I would have loved to, Bram.
Yeah, there you go. All right, what's your over-under, dude? Let's move to the next question. To our social question. All right, this one comes from me. whoever it is whose office that is, when they decided, like, you know what I need in here? I need a physical calculator. Like, does that person not own a phone or a computer?
There's a fax machine in here.
Oh, buddy.
You see the corner of it. Yeah. That there's actually, like a letter, like there's a, there, I think what this is a letter opener, but it's like a machine. It's like a giant machine. Like, can I just pick this up?
Like, did you take a time machine? I think you took a time machine to that audience.
You know, you can open letters with like your hand. Maybe this doesn't, maybe they don't have disposable thumbs or opposable thumbs,
Our social question. This one's simple, but right up your alley, Wes, as our resident.
You guys should see this computer monitor. It's like,
I mean, my God, man. Are we done talking? I mean, like, we're really losing your attention here. Like, I like it, but we can move on here. This one's aimed right at you. You are a resident sandwich expert. The question is this. Have you ever ordered an open-faced sandwich? Because I'll tell you, it seems fucking crazy to me. I don't understand why they do it. It's like the sandwiches are known for being like portable in one place. It'd be like if I ate cereal with two bowls, cereal and then a bowl of milk over here. Like, that doesn't make any sense why I do it, but you tell me.
Yeah, what's like an open-faced cereal? Is it just milk in a bowl?
Yes, or just I think it's two separate ones. You have a handful of cereal, and then you take a spoonful of the milk and throw a little cereal in there.
It's deconstructed cereal. Like, it's just so I think that I have, because I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, that Eggs Benedict technically is an open-faced sandwich, right? Yeah. So I have, but that's how they get you, right? Like, I could be staunchly anti open-faced sandwich, which obviously I am, and so are you. And then they're like, oh, Eggs Benedict, poached egg, ham, all like that sounds great. And you get it, and you're like, damn it, you served me an open-faced sandwich. You snuck that in. You didn't tell me what this was. And so, unfortunately, yes, I have had an open-faced sandwich. I don't think that they should exist. I don't think that they should be called open face sandwiches. You might as well just call it flatbread.
Yes. Because
that's kind of the same thing.
I like this.
It's an insult to everything that sandwiches are supposed to be. I don't know anybody that actually says, you know what's better than sandwiches? Open face sandwiches. You know what I prefer is with the just make this worse. It's just like, it makes no sense. Who wants this?
Can you make this less convenient for me? Is there something that you can do to make sure that this is a little bit harder? You
know, that's great. I'm busy. I'm at lunch. I'm on the go. Like I'm going to get a sandwich. But can you do me a favor? Can you get me a plate, a fork, and a knife? Take one of these pieces of bread off and make me sit down and eat this. It's awful. Also, the problem with open face sandwiches. Now you got me going. One of my favorite things is that when you take chips and you put them on the sandwich that you're eating, you can't do that with an open face sandwich. The chips just fall right off.
Immediately. Is there any open face sandwiches in that office you're in right now? Look around, because it seems like the kind of place that might be serving an open face.
No, this place, like, what's that? So, like, this place, like, serves mutton or something. I don't know where I what time I'm in.
Some kind of old timey food that I also can't come
up
with.
That's the first old timey food that came to mind.
I mean, I'm not sure what mutton is. I think it's a type of
meat. It's like, I thought it was like oatmeal.
No, that's goat.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's goat?
Yeah.
Oh, I had goat the other night. You want to hear about that? I don't know.
No, but I forgot to tell you that Maxime is recording from 1950. So he was able to tell us all
that
about
the goat.
That
explains why the room is so blurry. Yeah.
Maxime, keep the mic back to Warriors prediction questions. Here is the prompt. Who will be the second leading scorer on Golden State next year?
Oh, Jimmy Butler. Nah, kidding. I hope it's Pajemski, so I'm going to go with Pajemski. And also, open face sandwiches are a question of ratios. Like, you wouldn't like a bagel sandwich, if you need to have a lot of like locks on there, you end up open face because the bagel itself is so dense that it's a ratio thing. So, but anyways,
bagels are not sandwiches. Brandon, I refuse to accept the
bagel sandwich. No, listen, I agree with you, but when you put the two sides together and you have the cream cheese in the middle, it is unfortunately technically a bagel sandwich.
Definitely not a sandwich.
I'm with Bram on this. I'm actually insulted when people bagel place advertises that they have bagel sandwiches.
No, there better be meat in
there. You have a bagel.
Yeah.
That's what you have.
You do the thing where like there's bagels on either side and then meat in the middle. Okay, maybe.
Like two bagels?
If there's just fucking cream cheese in there, no. Like the same way instead of cream cheese, you put meat. If it's just cream cheese and a bagel, that's just a bagel and cream cheese. There's a phrase for that. It's called a bagel and cream cheese.
Okay, but then if you're getting lox and capers and tomatoes and onions, are you like, I would like a bagel with lox, tomatoes, capers, and onions? That's a mouthful. Yes. Why can't you just say a bagel sandwich?
No. They ask what do you me, say? Lox? You want a lox sandwich?
Yeah.
You go right to the prison if you say
oh my
that.
God. This is a preposterous response.
Maybe that's why I'm in 1950.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You're just in bullshit.
Bram, when you eat your bagels and you put the schmear on the bagel, are you going one side at a time on the bagel or do you combine it and go that way?
I mean, at the risk of boring everyone who didn't tune in for the food hour with the Warriors Huddle, I will still throw in, generally speaking, left to just me, put them together. I like instant satisfaction to eat them. This is too much information. You can bleep this name. I used to go to Noah's Bagels with my boy all the time, who's the slowest fucking eater on the face of the earth. And so I would smash mine before he was two bites in. So I had to start separating them and then eating them half by half just to like match him. So in my natural setting together, but with stupid, I had to separate them out. It is what it is. Second leading scorer, gentlemen, because we are close to an hour and I've got a lot of this outline left.
I'm going rebound year for Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, let's go. I'll say Jonathan Kuminga. Wes?
I'll go Kuminga.
Keep the mic, Wes. What team missed the playoffs in the West last year but will make it this year?
None of them. Do I have to do a bold prediction?
No, that's fine. There you go. Yeah. Same question, boys.
Playoffs or play-in? I'm sorry.
Does go the
play-in count?
Down to 10. Yeah. The expanded playoffs. So not for example.
I still go none of them. I don't think Houston or San Antonio will do it this year. I think they're a year away.
How about Memphis? That's my addition. I think Memphis.
Oh, you're right. Memphis. Yeah, you're right. Memphis makes it. Thanks for correcting me.
Sure.
Yeah, I think Memphis replaces the Clippers, and then everybody else stays the same.
The Clips? Mm. Okay. Maxime, do you agree?
Yeah, I do. But I also wouldn't be surprised if San Antonio snuck their way in.
I wouldn't either.
To our social question, and we're going to make this one a Judgment Theater Boys. Quote, What's the right way to split an odd number of appetizers? My wife and I have been together for 15 years, and every Friday night, we order corn dog appetizers from our local diner. They give us small 5 pieces every time, and every time we have a fight over the 5th piece, what's the solution? Don't answer this gentleman's question. Bring this into your own relationship, boys. We are all married men, all right? You are at a restaurant. You order some appetizers with your lovely wife. There is an odd amount. Who gets more? Start with me. What do I do? What's the guess?
If it's something you really like, I think you grab it. I think you grab the last whatever of it. It is, but you try to make up for it in some way. I'm not sure how. It's like either like more of this, like you didn't even really like this. You might even try like gaslight her a little bit. I'm like, you don't even want this. Trust me, I'll take this. And you have more of this other thing that's even better, but you actually are having the better thing. It might be something like that. Or you might just be like, get the waiter to come over and like pour another glass of wine and I'll have this other like croquette over here that I have not had my eye on for like the last 15 minutes and nobody's touched it. Like I think that might be the move.
Gentlemen,
I think you full on eat it without any hesitation and just expect your wife to know you've been together long enough to know I was eating that and let's go move on to another subject. I don't even think you think twice. I think it just happens. You're like, yeah, this has been happening for.
That's some piss on the fire hydrant dominance right there at the table.
I see him.
Yeah. Piss on the fire. Wow. Please don't do that when we go out to eat. I don't want my urine on my food. I think you go and you say, hey, I would love for you to have this because you know that she's going to say, oh, no, please. I don't want you to have it. Right. And then it becomes a thing where you're able to say, oh, OK, well, only if you want me to have it.
The answer is real similar to the answer I gave you on the Jared Allen trade conversation. Depends on when. Right. Like first few years of my relationship. Shit, I let her have all 5. You know, like, oh, I just want to make sure that you get everything you want. And, you know, I back off. Somewhere in the in-between years, yeah, there's some discussion, you know, maybe some passive aggression. I eat 2, she eats 2, and then we kind of look at it. And I use what Maxime said. At this stage, I'm pissing the fire hydrant, boys. We've been together for fucking ever, forever. It's a race. The second that appetizer hits the table, like, if I get to the 3rd one first, let's go. If I hit the 4th one, that's a problem, you know, like I'm like now I've only left her with one and like we're gonna have a whole conversation about it, but it's an issue and it's to the point now my wife will not share shit with me. Like she will come out and be like, I hate sharing things with you. And I'd say, I just hate sharing. I don't know why we're doing this again. So a little glimpse into the level of husband I am, gentlemen. Let's go to Marcus. 100% you let her have the 5th one. There's no question in my mind. Well, remind me, MT, how long are you married, if you don't mind sharing that?
No, it's all good. We just hit 5 years.
Yeah, you're a little hesitant. You may make a passive-aggressive comment. As she'll probably grab the 5th one before you say anything, and then you'll joke. And then if she does anything but immediately eat it, you're back off. Nope, sure, of course. So it's hers with a couple of comments.
Yep, agreed. Yeah, I don't even know that there's any conversation, obviously. It's obviously hers.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, unless it sits there for like 10 minutes and then you might just go for it.
What's the answer?
You're all right. I definitely offered to her first multiple times. And then if she doesn't eat it, 10 minute rule, then it's gone.
Maxime, how long you been together?
Fucking long, 12 years.
Wes, you want to take this one first?
I think you offer to share it.
Oh, cut it in half or just offer it?
Yeah.
Like, I'll take a bite.
Cut it in half, whatever it is. And it might not even be, like, cuttable. And that's besides the point. That's not – it's the gesture that counts.
And when? He's eaten 2 and then cut the other
like
one
like, immediately half, after – immediately after he eats the 2nd one and he wants the 3rd one, he's like – he's still got the 2nd one in his mouth. And he's like, you want to just – like, you want to cut that 3rd one? Let's just cut this one in half. Maybe not that immediate, but
I like
soon
that
after.
I like that answer. I like the idea of sharing too. I think you leave it up to her, Maxime. I don't think you cut it. You know, I think you like, well, how do you want to handle it? Kind of an open-ended question at 12 years. You're not taking it. You're not suggesting I'm definitely taking half, but you're throwing out a question that, you know, I'm not really giving this up. So what's the move here? And then argue it out. MT?
I think at 12 years, once you've passed a decade, I think there's mutual nonverbal understanding of what's going to happen. So I think Maxime just takes it, but it's because his wife knows that he's going to make it.
And I didn't add, I'm sorry for color on mine. I've been together, Eric and I have been married for 17, but we've been together for way longer. So deep in the game. Maxime, what's the answer?
So Marcus was very close to right until he said that I take it, because Wes was just so unbelievably on the money. We are now at the point where there is no question. We split everything 100%. We eat at exactly the same rate. We eat exactly the same amount. So there's just no question that we're going to be cutting it before it even happens. And now if we go out, like if there's four of us and there's five things, I'm cutting it into four parts. I just don't want to deal with it.
What do you mean you eat at the exact same rate? Like you guys are just like in lockstep, like a marching band?
Just one bite at a time.
That was scary.
You and do you have like that guy that does the drum on the boat? Like
it sounds like an M. Night Shyamalan movie. It's like if we shut up and like you guys are just eating exactly the same, I'm leaving almost immediately.
That's why we do it. I don't want to share my food with you.
We go to Wes. I think Wes gave us a little glimpse, dude. The guess of you might bring the waiter over to distract your wife with another glass of wine and then be like, oh, and you didn't really want this any. That sounded a lot like projection to me. I'm taking that response 100%. I feel like that's the move for Wes and Jules.
So good. I'm definitely on that same move, except he hands the empty plate to the waiter after he's done pouring the wine. It's already gone.
I like the idea. Yes, his wife is like, so, I mean, what do you want to do with this fifth one? He's like, hold on for a second. We're going to do a little wine over here. It's like, yeah, we'll deal with that in a second. I'm not quite ready for that question.
Next thing, right, short of that, but maybe the wine, like Wes has seen this coming because he scouted the restaurant and he knows. So like there's already been like five glasses of water and three glasses of wine so that she goes to the bathroom. Then he's like, great, I'm going to snack it while she's gone.
You guys have me pinned to some sort of mastermind. No, I don't do any of that shit.
What do you do?
No, I offer it knowing full well she's not going to take it. And then she says, you have it. And then I don't even do the double ask anymore. We've been together for now. We've been married for 2 years, but she doesn't like, she would rather have the glass of wine than food, honestly. Like she'll just fill up on wine. So she's fine. So like, I'll be like, hey, here, do you want this thing? And she'll be like, no, you can have it. And I'll be like, all right, cool. And I'll take it.
Win-win.
It's pretty simple.
Finish this out with some quick hitters here, Wes. Just first response that comes to mind, right? These are all basketball related. Here's the full one, one exception. Here's the first. Will the Warriors play in a 7-game series this year?
Yes.
Over, under, 1.5. How many All-Stars for Golden State?
Under.
Over, under, 49. How many wins for the Milwaukee Bucks?
Over the Bucks? I'll go over.
Who scores more per game next year, SGA or Ant Edwards?
I'll go SGA. More consistent, yeah.
Who wins the title?
Dang. I have not made a prediction yet. I'll go chalk. I'll just say the Celtics repeat.
That would be my answer too. Gentlemen, we will handle these questions on a different day to fill it in with Maddie Stats. Here's our last and the one I'm both most interested in and most nervous about. Wes, what's your perception of San Francisco? All right, here's why I'm asking you, okay? You lived here. You've lived here. You spent time here. You covered the team here. You've been here. Also, right now, you are in Florida, my friend. Probably if I had to pick a place whose perception of here would be, you know, the most like crime-filled, fucked area on Earth, I would probably go talk to a Floridian resident. So, what's your perception, man? What's San Francisco like if you had to explain it to someone who had never been?
It's a beautiful city, and it's absolutely one of a kind. It's a little unfortunate what has happened to the city over the last several years. When I moved to San Francisco several years ago, I moved to Nob Hill. I was on Post Street, and that was still technically Nob Hill at that point. And is no longer considered Knob Hill. It became so like after like a year or two, it became the Tender Knob, which was a new made up thing that we had. And now I think it's fully Tenderloin at this point. It felt like the Tenderloin by the time I moved out. So it was unfortunate because that's exactly where I wanted to live. And I was really happy there for a long time. But that is like the perception that I have of San Francisco is I love that city. And I wish that it could just get out of what's happened to it. And I don't know that it will. I know that there's a lot of people who are optimistic, but I'm less optimistic that it'll ever fully come out of what's kind of going on here. I was actually at a bar the other day and had mentioned it came. I think I was wearing a San Francisco Giants hat. And so we kind of just like were talking about it. And they're like, did you live there? And I was like, yeah, I lived there. And I kind of, they're like, how did you do it? Like, what was that like? I might as well have told them I was living on Neptune for like a decade. Like, they were just like, how did you even breathe? I don't even understand. Do they have gravity there? Like, it was as if they were like, they had so many questions for me. And I think that so my perception of San Francisco, having lived there, is a little bit different, but people think, like, especially like in Florida, where it's very different than San Francisco, it's like, people are like, what was that even like? Like, they are like bewildered by the whole situation.
Yeah. I'm an attorney in my other life. I'm in a case with a woman from Florida, I believe. I'm not sure. She's the opposing attorney. And we're setting a depo. And we were talking about maybe setting it here in San Francisco. And I might as well have suggested setting that deposition in Mordor. She was like, what? Like, there's no way, dude. Like, what are you talking about? And it was really interesting seeing what her perception was, you know? And I mean, you know, it's all weirdo bias. My take on Florida would not be the most optimistic. You know, I think I'd be shot in the face by a redneck before having my dick bitten off by an alligator. You know, like, I don't trust anything that's happening out there. I don't.
What, have you been to my parents' house?
I won't argue with the SF take. I am currently in San Francisco and am totally safe for those wondering, you know, but I understand.
Yeah, people act like it's like this dystopian, like, what's that zombie show on HBO? The Last of Us. People are like, you might as well tell them that you lived that, yeah, that was your life. And I'm like, it is not that. Like, you could still, like,
oh,
it didn't help that 49ers guy got shot in the middle of the day. But
yes, you know. Dude, the Ricky Pierce also. If the practical reality, there are portions of the city I could bring you to, and you think you're in Zombie Town? Yes, there are.
That's true.
Are there portions of every city that also have fentanyl, you know, laced alleys? Probably. But I digress. Instead, let me say, Wes, dude, love the episodes you're on. Loved this episode. I thought it was going to be 25 minutes. You know, this is supposed to be a lunchtime recording for me. I've had my business managers walk by the office twice, like, what's going on? This is a much longer thing than I planned. And it's only because of how much fun I'm having. So thank you, man. We love you. And for people out there who would like far more Goldberg in their life, where do they go?
Well, there's also a guy walking right by this office too right now, and he's wondering why I'm in here as long as I've been here too. So he's like, why did you lock the door? You don't, it's not your office.
I need the calculator. Yeah. Can you fax that one thing for me, please? And my mutton is getting so cold.
To you outside. You can find all my work at a fax machine near you. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Check out Real GM Radio. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. We need more. Chaos.
Just about to say, that's weird because there's nothing new for us except for I will be appearing on the Real GM podcast with Wes sometime in the near future. So, you know,
we'll see. You I'm going to back off that a little bit.
With that in mind, go Warriors. Hopefully, see you real soon.
Good.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.